what does it mean to you for to represent the different types of bodies, and also what are the goal, feeling, intent?
I guess the reason why it's important to show different body types is, you know, the more body types you see, like, the more people get validated. So if you see somebody, if you're large and you see somebody large in porn, you're like, oh, that person is desirable. They look like me. I must also be desirable. If we're only seeing, like, one kind of, like, cookie cutter, you know, you have to be skinny and blonde and have big boobs, you know, that's what a lot of people are talking about, like, enforcing, like, sex negativity. It's just, like, body negativity. It's just like, oh, I must not be attractive if I don't look like this, you know, because I don't see other people, like, you know, having great sexual experiences who look like me. So I think it's really important to, like, reflect other type of body types that, yeah, you are beautiful and, like, you are sexy and you can be an object of desire. So I think that's the question that you're asking, right? Okay. Awesome.
And maybe if you can talk to me a bit about your whole process, the way you start and what it becomes and what are the themes you're working on and what is your, you know, your the continuous goals you're following.
I guess, you know, the goals that I'm following are just like where things are going, at least with my creative process. It's continuing, you know, building a film language for sex in cinema. Kind of, you know, my own personal growth and technical skill. I was a film major, you know, so I feel like, okay, that's a solid base, but, you know, I can always learn more. So it's like every movie is kind of like a new complication and a new crash course and, like, a different technique of lighting and equipment and this and that, and how do we do this and how do we, you know. So there's, like, the technical aspect of, like, continuing to push myself on a technical level. There's, like, continuing to push myself on a creative level of just, like, you know, what are the stories that we want to hear about, like, our sex and our sexuality, and how do we tell these stories, and, like, what's the structure for, you know, a narrative that has a lot of sex? Like, how do you make this work? What's important? What's not important? So I guess, like, you know, it's just constantly... I guess my impetus is, like, one, constantly striving for to push my levels of technical skill, push my creativity, and also, you know, pushing myself in an area that I have not as much experience, which is business, you know, and bringing, you know, my values of, like, hey, this is kind of fucked up. I'd like to change things. I own a company. I can change things in my own company. And maybe if I do this and I'm successful, maybe other people will start working in this manner. And then that's how you really start changing the industry and the ideals and how money works and how power works and how, you know, so there's a lot of stuff.
And go more about this. What do you want to change? What do you want to change? What has to be changed?
I think, you know, more you value your performers and you value the creators. You know, I don't want to bag on capitalism because, you know, it's in some ways it really works, and that's the system that I live in, and that's the system that I work in. But I think that that's greed. There's greed. There's you know, buy low, sell high. You know, but I'm like, you know, what if you didn't buy so low? You wouldn't die. What if you bought in the middle and then you sold just a little bit higher than the middle? Do you know what I mean? You'd still survive. You'd still, you know, it's not a nonprofit. It is a for-profit business. But I'm like, can we just not be, there's a way to be capitalist and not be fucking greedy and screw people.
Well,
it's kind of an oxymoron, but, you know, it's. I don't know. I believe that I can run my company in a way where I can sleep at night and not feel like a dick.
Okay, and how do you feel this interact with the kind of sexuality you represent? You know, because you're talking about an economical and political system, and you're also doing. You also represent some subversive, also kind of sexualities. How those two interact together for you?
The only way to answer that is a lot of queer culture is based on countercultural revolutionary principles, you know, like, you know, hanging out with like the crusties and DIY, and like it's all about trade and like not using money as a system. And you know, I come from a culture in the Bay Area that's steeped in this, and you know, it just happens to be that, you know, I think if you're queer or you're not in the mainstream, you have to think about this shit, and you have to think about, well, how do I survive in this culture? And I think marginalized people have like been able to like create alternative, like, societies or countercultures, yada, 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 which, you know, in some ways, like, really work, and in some ways, like, they're problematic, and but, like, we're all trying to figure it out. And I think what you're talking about is, I feel like a lot of the culture that I've been in the Bay Area, I think I'm just taking that, what I've learned in this area, and just am applying that to my business. So there definitely is an intersection of queer and an intersection of counterculture, just given its natural history.
Yeah.
So, is that...
Yeah,
okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to jump for a last question. Maybe you're kind of a... let's talk about art also. Actually, what interests me is that I noticed that in your film specifically, you know, in all those films that we see that do, you know, let's say alternative porn, if you want to say, because there's lots of ways to say such things. But in your way, there's a special, your aesthetic, if you want to, is worked, is in a way that I feel that there's a special attention to it, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I also recognize your artistic process when I see your films. So my question would be about, How do you work your aesthetic to create arousal?
That's a good question. So, to put it simply, I have to credit this to Tony Comstock, because he helped me a lot. Because I think, like, coming from a film background, like, I understand, like, building narrative and all that kind of stuff, but filming sex with a completely different beast. I'm like, this is more akin to filming live sports. What do I do with this? Or like, live dance. And then when I was talking to him, he was like, just film it like dialogue. And I was like, oh, right, sex is a dialogue. The way we shoot is actually, like we're set up for dialogue, you know, over the shoulder. Reverse shot, point over the shoulder, da-da-da-da-da. You're having a conversation. And I think that translates the intensity of the experience that the models are having onto the screen. Also, you know, I'm constantly trying new techniques and new equipment, and I built 35mm lens adapters, which gives my stuff a slightly different look and a slightly different feel. The way we shoot is a little bit different. Like, you know, I don't ask models to hold. The story of the sexual experience is molded in the edit. It's not, you don't see what, I mean, you see what really happens, but you don't. It's an illusion. Because if you saw, like, the 2 hours of footage to do the scene, you'd be fucking bored as hell, right? So, you know, I think the power of, like, the creation of, like, the sex and the tension that goes up and down and up and then release.
So you completely create the connection between the two.
No, I don't completely create the connection, okay. But I'm able to, like, distill it.
So what do you think about desire? What are your words about desire?
What can I say about desire? Like, about film, like, filming it, or just, like, what? That's a big... What do you mean? Are you asking me a personal question?
Well... I was reacting about the way you said that. You know, when you edit the thing, you are reconstructing the what happened between the models. So you have to, you know, you have to think about what is the desire. So what? How are you gonna make people feel the desire or not? How do you work that?
I guess okay, semantics. I don't know. I think it's not desire that I think about. It's not desire that I'm thinking about when I'm editing it.
Okay. What do you think of when you're eating?
Okay, the best analogy that I just thought of, like, when you're talking about that, think of a bonsai tree. The tree is the tree is the tree, right? But you snip it or shape it in ways that accentuate that tree's beauty.
Yeah.
And I guess more of what I go for isn't about desire, it's about beauty. If I think about the sex and I have... Okay, here's another thing. Okay, because I also like physics and weird shit. But if you think about it... God, there's too many things coming to me. But in Alice in Wonderland, when Alice is trying to run towards the queen, the more she runs towards it, the far away she gets. But she runs in the opposite direction. Suddenly she hits the hill. And it's that for me. If I think too much about the sex and a specific outcome, I get farther away from it. So what I have to do is kind of divert my focus. And what works is the focus on the technical aspect. When I focus on the technical, essentially running in the opposite direction of desire, I get the desire.
Okay.
If that makes sense to you.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Yesterday, you said one interesting too. You talked about your actress in the movie we saw yesterday night. And you talked about... at one point, you talked not only about her body, but you talked about her energy. So I'd like to hear you more about what you meant when you talked about her energy.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, it sounds like totally woo-woo. Like, yeah, I live in California. Okay. But I definitely think the more and more you shoot sex, the more and more you understand and can feel the energy in the room, and you understand where people are going. You can feel it. You're like... Like, I've gotten to the point, like, I shoot so much, like, I'm like, they're going to move. Boom, they move, and I'm ready. Like, here we go, whoa, and I can flip with them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, shooting Sean, like, I've shot Sean so many times, like, I know Sean's energy. You know, a lot of different models I've shot with us, like, I can kind of, like, feel where they're going. I know when they're going to come. You know, you just, you know, it's just like, okay, here it is. And, like... You know, she has really intense energy. I know how she makes contact with people. And, like, you know, working with, like, people I've never worked with, even then you can tap into it. It's just, like, you can just start to feel it. It's just like, ah, okay, I know where they are. Or, like, there have been times where I'm like, ah, I can feel them. They're not telling me, but I know they're having problems. They're not really some... Even though things kind of look okay on the outside, I can kind of feel it. Something's, you know, and I might call hold. They might need to call hold. And then just kind of like let it go again, and then eventually you'll feel it, and you're like, okay, here we go. There, you know, you just follow it. I don't know how else to explain it.
You also, when you talked about it yesterday, you were also talking about the Sean's energy would be something that would transform the way we would see women's sexuality.
Oh, okay.
Also,
so the idea that, you know, that. Basically, sexual expression isn't attached to any one particular body, you know. We know this because Judith Butler said this, right?
Okay. So if Judith says so.
If Judith says so, it's true. But I think that concept was, like, revolutionary for me, like, when I started to, like, I mean, it's real, I couldn't get through gender troubles, but, like, you know, I talked to people about it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I kind of understand where she's going with this. I get it, and I can see it in the, like, you know, the move, like, in queer theory, like, really embodied in, like, Eve Sedgwick, which is also ridiculously dense to read, anyway, I more talk to people who know it better than I do than actually read it, because it's so freaking dense, but the idea that masculine doesn't necessarily belong to a male body. Masculinity can be on a female body, femininity can be on, like, a male body. And then the idea, like, you know, and it doesn't have to be static. You can be static in that. You can choose one and be static, but it's not necessarily static. It is transferable. And I think that's something that slowly, I think it's definitely very, very prevalent in the generation right under me. And I think it's finally seeping into, like, even more so in my generation than the generation above me. So I don't know if that makes.
Yeah. We're at this Feminist Porn Awards, so I'd like to hear you. How do you situate in this feminist term? What is it to you? How do you interact? What is feminist about your work? How do you understand all this?
What is feminist about my work? Like, where do I fit in? I'll share an anecdote then.
Yeah.
When I went to Germany for the first Feminist Porn Awards in Germany.
Yeah.
And we did, like, a little press conference. And the woman who organized the Feminist Porn Awards, she was talking. And basically, when she was talking about feminism, it sounded like she was explaining queer as far as, you know, gender being transferable, about, like, you know, how building community and, like, being inclusive and transgendered. And, like, and then as soon as I thought it, she said it. And I'm like, she's like, you know, because feminism is now, like, queer. Queer is fem. Basically, she was using the word synonymous. Queer and feminism were essentially the same to her, which, if you come to the States, there's still, I feel like there's the feeling that feminism and queer theory are at odds. And I don't think that they're at odds. I believe that they both have a very, very similar agenda. And in my mind, there's a lot of ways that, yes, when I talk about myself, if I say feminist, you know, it embodies a lot of the stuff that I think about, like, about queer. I choose to use the word queer more. Just for me, in my head, it's more inclusive. Feminism, because I'm an American, it has, like, this deep history. And, like, first wave, second wave, third wave, feminism. I believe, like, a lot of the stuff that I am doing fits into, like, a feminist arena. But also because my experience with my own gender being in weird places at different times and, like, knowing a lot of transgender people, and it's just, like, for me, the word feminism is too limiting for me. But I embrace the community and the experience of feminism because it totally embodies all my values. Do you know? So it's interesting. I think there's something interesting happening, and I think a lot of people get caught up on semantics, just like I get caught up in semantics. But I feel like, you know, these are my people. I definitely belong here. And I think, you know, we're still on a journey. We're still changing and evolving. And I think that's great. And I think that, you know, people are here for a dialogue, and that's awesome. So
thank you very much.